Hi, I'm Jennifer Osborne. This is the Conversations of Hope podcast, stories of hope as told by those who live them.
I am excited to be able to talk about your story. Your story has such a nice, deep, redemptive part to it. And I know that a lot of people are going to be able to relate to it because it's about an earthly dad and a heavenly dad. Mm-hmm. And we all have earthly dads, and our heavenly dad wants to be a dad to everybody. So you have so much of that in your story as far as like just reconciling the two. So tell me a little bit about you and your story and your upbringing, a little bit about who you are.
So I am the second oldest of seven children, if we're going to start way back.
Yeah.
45 years ago. Second oldest of seven children, grew up, my parents were married. We grew up Catholic, so we went to Catholic grade school, Catholic high school, all seven of us, all the way through, and went to church every Sunday. And my dad was, you know, go to the front and do the readings called a lector, that's what they're called. He would do that often on Sundays, and my dad was very respected at our church because he was, you know, part of the church team. So that was kind of nice growing up with, you know, seven brothers and sisters. I have one older sister, three younger sisters, and then the two youngest are the boys. So we had all of the things on the outside world were just really good. So, you know, people just looked at our family and, you know, everybody thought really highly of our family and, you know, wanted to be part of our family. And, you know, so.
And there was a kind of a darker thing going on.
Yes.
Your dad had struggled with alcoholism.
Yes.
So.
Unspoken alcoholism. It's never been spoken about. I mean, even to this day, really, no one ever really talks about the fact that he was an alcoholic. So. But he did, and he had a very rough upbringing himself. And so, I always had a lot of respect for the fact that he did tell us about that. So we knew kind of where he was coming from. And I think that, you know, God just made me from the beginning of my life, just a very empathetic person. So having that and knowing that about my dad, always helped me, even as a child, try to understand where he was coming from. So when I would see a lot of anger coming from him, I realized, some part of me realized that came from his childhood. So I tried to make it okay, I think, in my own mind that he acted that way at times when he would get really upset. But he was very verbally abusive with his words, just to all of us. The things that he would say were just harsh, not nice things. And I was the second oldest, so I was very strong personality from a very young age. And so I always spoke up. That was just my personality. I would always stand up against that. So if he would say things that were harsh to myself or to any of my siblings, I always had something to say back. And so that caused a lot of friction between the two of us, because he didn't want to hear that. So, when he would say, things to us that were hurtful, I would try to sometimes almost like understand where that came from. And like, why would you talk to your child like that? That's just not kind. And even as a little girl, like that didn't make sense to me, like why you would talk like that to your child. And so, you know, we would butt heads a lot. And my brothers and sisters were a lot different than I was, though, in that they just didn't do that. They more were quiet or just wouldn't say anything or wouldn't talk about, they wouldn't stand up. Like I was always standing up to him.
Yeah.
And it felt good for me. It just was who I was. Like, even though I saw that didn't really work for me, because I would stand up for myself, he was more abusive to me. Physically, he was more abusive to me.
Because you had challenged him?
Because I challenged him.
Yeah.
And so verbally, he was just pretty abusive to everyone. But physically, he took most of that out on me. And I was fine with that. Like, I was like, bring it on. Just bring it on. I'll take all of it. Do not touch my sisters. Do not touch my brothers. Just, I will take it.
So you had kind of a, I'm going to be the guardian.
Yes.
Of the rest of the family.
Yes.
Like, when was your earliest memory of wanting to do that against your dad and when he would have these moments?
I remember, I don't remember a big part of my childhood. Like, I have a few memories of things here and there, but I don't remember pretty much the first 12 years of my life, but I do have some memories. And the memories that I do have are of me standing up for a sibling. I remember my brother, who's 10 years younger than me, was probably about 2, maybe. So I was probably 12. And I think that's where most of my memories start. He wet the bed one night. And I just remember hearing my dad wake up in the middle of the night. He was so mad. I mean, screaming. We're all sleeping, you know, and he's asking him, you know, basically telling him, you know, I don't remember the verbatim, but that he was going to spank him because he wet his bed. And I just remember getting up out of my bed and running into the bathroom and standing in the doorway with my hands up against the doorway with my feet, you know, and blocking my dad and saying, you are not going to touch this little boy. Like, you're not going to do that, because he didn't go to bed and say, oh, I'm going to sleep tonight and I'm going to pee in the bed. I'm going to make dad really mad. Like, he's a little boy. He didn't do that on purpose to upset you. Like, we just need to clean the bed and clean him up and let him go back to sleep. Like, he didn't do this on purpose to upset you. And I just remember doing those kinds of things often, like just saying, no, you're not going to touch her because you're angry. If you're angry, you can take it out on me. And even moving away to college, going, you know, even to that degree, telling him when I would leave, I would just tell him, don't be abusive to anyone. I'll come home on the weekends and you can take it all out on me, but please don't hurt them. And I would tell my brothers and sisters, like, if it starts to happen, I want you to call me, you know, call me at school. I'll try to figure out a way to come home. It was just hard to, because I just wanted to protect everyone, and I didn't want him to do anything. I didn't want him to physically hurt them, even though I think, looking back at it now, I feel like the physical stuff I dealt with, or I don't know, I feel like it was the verbal stuff that really hurt me. Because even like on the inside, it was the inside that was being torn apart. I didn't really ever really, I don't think as a child, realized that what was going on emotionally, that was actually tearing me up inside. Because on the outside, I appeared to be this very strong child.
So what kept you going through all of that to keep you from actually dealing with what should have been crippling anxiety, depression? I mean, like, to never know like when an attack would be coming from your dad, and to always know you were going to be the one to stand up to take that.
I think I played sports, and I think that was a huge thing that just kept my mind. It kept me just going all the time. So I was, and I had lots of friends. I've always been like very, 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 interested in having lots of friends. So I was friends with everybody, and I was nice, and I was such a people pleaser. I always wanted to please everyone. I always wanted to make everyone happy. I think part of that is from, you know, having a father like that. You just want to do whatever you can to make them happy. And so it worked for most people. It just didn't. And it's because it really wasn't about me. I mean, his abuse to us wasn't about us. It was about the hurt little boy inside of him. You know, that was coming out and just not knowing how to properly deal with that. And I think as I was growing up, I was starting to recognize some of that. And so I would try to talk to him about that. And so I just took the approach of even saying things like that to him, like, why would you talk to me like that? Like, did someone talk to you like that when you were a little boy? Like, did people treat you this way when you were a child? Some of the things that would happen would make me go, where did that come from? Like, how could you, where did you come up with those words? Like, someone had to have used those words. Like, where did you come up with those words? Like, dirt under people's feet, or, you know, and it's funny because I said my whole life, my dad used to say I was dirt under people's feet. He may have only said that to me one time in hindsight, looking back at it now, but it stuck in my head. Like, in my mind, it happened every day that he said that to me. And I honestly can't tell you how many times he did that, or said that. So those things that really stuck out, those harsh memories, you know, were just there, and they were constantly playing over in my head. So they were, you know, over time, just beating away at who I was and my self-esteem and who I really believed I was as a person, instead of, the person I was portraying to be on the outside. It almost felt like, you know, at a certain point in my life, like two different people. Like, I portray myself to be this happy person, but on the inside, I just want someone to love me. You know, I just want someone to love me for just who I am. So, but not, I guess, really totally ever letting anyone know who that really was, because just the fear of, like, what if someone finds out who I really am and they don't, then, like, then what would happen, you know, if no one ever really loves me for who I really am on the inside? But luckily that is not true.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of people that love me for who I really am. So, yeah.
So you were the family protector and willingly took that on and confronted your dad. But even though outwardly to your dad, you were the strong, I'm going to take it on for everybody. I'm going to take one for the team, kind of. Mm-hmm. Not to make light of that, but you know what I'm saying. Like, mm-hmm. you were going to be it. And I remember in one of our conversations, you had said you were terrified of your dad.
Like, yes.
Terrified.
Yes.
But you pushed, like when I think of being terrified, at least in my terrified, like, I don't know how you pushed yourself to that next step of, like, okay, bring it on, like, mm-hmm. give it to me, mm-hmm. like how you got from those, that feeling to where you were.
Yeah. And I really, like, I've wondered that, like, even, you know, after being an adult, kind of looking back, wondering that myself. And the only thing that I can, that remotely makes any sense is just, that's just the way that God made me. And he was just always there with me, just right by my side. Not necessarily even recognizing that as a child, because just growing up Catholic, I can only speak for myself, but growing up the way that I did, I knew about God, but he was an authority figure over us, the same as my dad. And so he wasn't like a friend. So I didn't ever have like a relationship with him. I just knew that he was watching everything I did. And when I did wrong, he knew it. And he was writing it down and he was keeping track. And so that's kind of how I thought, you know, things were. But now being where I am today and having an amazing relationship with Jesus, I realized that this is just the way that he made me. And he was right there with me through it all and just walking with me. So, and that, I guess it was probably like 2007 is when I started coming to Crossroads. And that's kind of when that whole, or 2006, when my relationship with Jesus really started. I was kind of creeping into it a little bit before that, just by reading books and having some friends that were going to church and had a great relationship with Jesus. But I myself didn't really start digging into that. I think it was like 2007 when I started coming to Crossroads, because my youngest was born in 2006 and he was born at the time. So I think it was 2007. And that's when things started to really change for me. When I started really recognizing my brokenness, like really recognizing that I was really broken and that he would redeem that. Like, I could talk about it. I could explore that. I didn't have to hide it. I didn't have to keep it all inside. And I think that's the biggest thing that I would want anyone to know, that we are all broken. Like, every single one of us is broken. And that once that, the big thing that I got when I first started going to Crossroads was, the darkness will come into the light, and that's when healing can begin, is once that darkness comes to light. And so trying to keep all of those things in, trying to keep my sin in, trying to pretend away my life was just not going to work, that it was going to start to work, that he would start healing me. And he did. And he would start redeeming me and restoring me. He would start doing all of those things once I was able to talk about them and be in community with people that would help me and that would hear about my brokenness and love me anyway. And it's just grown tremendously. My relationship with him is just, it's a completely different thing now. I mean, he's my best friend. I talk to Jesus every day as soon as I wake up, you know, all throughout my day. And I remember at times wondering and hearing about people who had a relationship with Jesus and thinking, and going to church and thinking, do they really, like, get up and they read their Bible? And when someone slams the door and it makes them mad, like, they really just talk to Jesus about it first before they, you know, cuss him out or whatever. And he's so gentle with me, which is, you know, something I always wanted from my earthly father, was just, I just wanted him to be gentle. Like, he was so harsh, you know, he was just so, like, in your face all the time. And I just wanted to see him smile. I just wanted to see him happy, you know? And I think that just, feeling that, gentleness from him was always just very real to me. And I've told you, said this to you another time, but I remember going to church and hearing, you know, sometimes if you have a difficult relationship with your earthly father, that it's really difficult for you to understand that there really is a heavenly father that loves you completely through all of your brokenness, and he died on the cross for all of your sins, and he was perfect, and that's really difficult for people to wrap their minds around. And for me, I never had a difficult time understanding that. And I think because I think inside, I just knew that that was right. And so I would always hear, you know, different people say, well, I'm daddy's little girl, or talk about someone being daddy's little girl, or she's daddy's little girl. And that to me was always like, really? Like, that made no sense to me. And I think I wanted that. I would never have said that out loud to anybody in the world. I probably won't even say it to you today, but I think there was a little.
I think you might have let the cat out of the bag.
It's possible. But I did always want that, desired that, was always jealous of that, had friends. Yeah. I remember my best friend in grade school. Oh my gosh, her and her dad were so close. And I just remember thinking, is that real? Does he abuse her when I leave? Is he really like that with her all the time? Mm. Like, I never really believed that. Always waited for the story to come out years later of what horrible things he did to her. Like, I was just always waiting.
Because your filter was your dad.
Right.
So that sounds to me like maybe that's when you were, like, realizing that, hey, maybe they're not the same. And then...
Right.
Not to feed words into your mouth, but...
No, and I did. I had lots of friends in grade school who were really close to their fathers, and just, I loved watching that. I loved seeing that. And even in high school, just was always, I could just sit and watch them all day long. Like, I could just watch a daughter with her dad all day long. I just thought that was so cool. But I would have just been like, oh, that's not even real. Like, that's gross. Like, ugh. Like, that's what I would say. But I think there was definitely a part of me on the inside that always wished that I had had that.
Yeah.
But I know without a shadow of a doubt that that is how my Heavenly Father feels about me. And so it just made sense. When it hit me, it hit me. And I just knew, like, he really does love me that way. So when I revealed sin and I was told, you're forgiven, I believed that. Like, it just all felt right, because there was, it's just something inside that I just knew that he really was that way. And he always comes to me very gently with everything. He's so gentle with me. Like, I can almost feel him touch my shoulder when he talks to me, because I think he just knows that I desire that gentleness. And so I always feel him talking to me gently. And then sometimes I'm like, okay, I get it. But he's still always gentle. Even when he's trying to say, Jenny, wake up. I know that he is just always there for me and always wanting to hear my voice and whatever it is that I have to say, and that he loves me and he wants to heal it. And he wants me to say, okay, thank you for that. Now, can I have more? Like, he just wants me to keep asking for more. Yeah. And he is so faithful and just keeps giving me more all the time. So,
sounds like when you came to know him, he showed you that gentleness and started healing some of that little girl that wanted her dad.
Absolutely.
Wow. That must've been profound when you really started getting that. He's so good. He's so perfect.
It's just, it's beautiful. Like, it's just a beautiful way to take something that's so broken and not even necessarily realizing how broken it is, and just beginning to heal it and fix it. And his plans are always so much bigger than our own. And then kind of see how that goes. And sometimes it would be a little while, but it's just very broken. And so I did what I could do. And I just had to release all of it. I just had to say, Jesus, you know, just take over. Like, I don't want to even desire that daddy's little girl anymore. I just don't. I don't even want that to be my desire. I just want to be happy with the way that things are and love my husband and my children and change things for them and not have them growing up with a mom who rages like, you know, dad did. And so I almost kind of lost that desire to even have it mended. I just wanted it to be okay and to be, we didn't even need it healed anymore. You know, I kind of got to a place where I was just like, well, just move on from here. And I did what I could do, and I need to know that I did my best, and that's all I can ask for.
You've been listening to the Conversations of Hope podcast. Stories of hope as told by those who live them. Music by Lauren Dusky. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2022 by Parable Road.